We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Yeah. What is your reaction to him being a finalist?
That's pretty amazing. And, I mean, he's certainly deserving, and what a great player he was for us. And there's been a lot of other great tight ends. And, you know, just to be even thought about is, I'm sure, very flattering. And he's, you know, he earned it.
How close do you think this offense is to figuring it out?
How close to figure what out?
Well, you said that. I know it was a Mac Miller tweet today through Instagram. But how close do you think this offense is to, you know, getting things together, maybe clicking on all cylinders?
Yeah, we're, you know, I think every week we're making a little progress. So, every week we're trying to learn from our mistakes and, you know, put all the right things together and, you know, hopefully, you know, just keep improving. So it's, guys are working really hard and that's been great to see. And that's what we got to keep doing. It's not, you know, things just don't kind of happen magically. So we're working pretty hard at it.
You said that a few times this year, Tom, that there's no magic, you know, quick and easy solution to what you guys are going through right now. How much do you embrace the challenge that comes with trying to get to where you want to be, as frustrating as it might be at times?
Well, you had really no option. You know, we have a job to do, and just go out there and do the best job we can do and score as many points as we can. And I don't think it's, you know, trying to, you know, be less than what we're capable of. So I think the point is just we got to maximize our potential. And I don't know what our potential is, you know, but we got to be the best we could be. And if we do it well one time, it's how well can we do it consistently. I think part of it is just consistently we haven't done a great job. And I think that when you're not consistent, it just leads to other issues. So trying to be consistent and dependable is, you know, what a great offense is all about. And then when you have, you know, really great playmaking ability, you know, I think all those things make it very hard to defend.
Is that kind of the beauty and but also the frustrating part of sports? It's not scripted. You know,
yeah.
So this is a new challenge, a new year, and three games to go starting Sunday, and yet you still have a chance to get where you want to go.
Yeah, there's a lot of new pieces, and you're always trying to incorporate, you know, from week to week, and every year it's a little bit different. The challenges are different. And, you know, you just can't rely on, you know, oh, well, we'll just do exactly what we used to do or we'll do exactly what we did last week. You have to kind of reinvent yourself every week and how the game plan takes shape and what guys are asked to do in order to execute takes shape. And it's always a little bit of a challenge. But, you know, football season's not supposed to be easy. You know, it's a hard grind for us. Sure, it's a hard grind for you guys. You know, probably just the fantasy football, you know, owners, they want us to play forever. But, you know, we're in the middle of it. You know, we're deep into it. And just got to have the mental toughness and the competitive stamina to keep showing up every day and working as hard as you can to be ready to compete, you know, when we're called upon.
On a different note, Pete Prady's passed away this week. They had a funeral this morning for him. I know Kevin Youkilis wants everyone to raise a pint for Pete at 6 o'clock. Just kind of your thoughts on a man that, you know, gave so much to the community in the short time and the Ice Bucket Challenge and everything else that he just done to fight ALS.
Yeah, he did. He just had a great impact. And I think, you know, took a really tough situation and turned it into a great positive for people and brought great awareness to, you know, a tremendous cause. And, you know, he's resting peacefully now. And, you know, we wish his family the best.
Tom, is football still fun for you?
Yeah.
As fun as it was 10 years ago, 15 years ago?
I don't know. I'm not going to make a bunch of comparisons about year to year, but yeah, I love it. So thank you guys.
See that who was the last guy? Who was the last guy? That guy ruined it for everybody. Is football still fun?
But he said it in like a, he was leading the witness. Is it still fun?
No, that's my
but
point.
Like it was years ago. Because I'm writing an article where I need the quote. I need you to say no.
Tom, is football still fun for you?
Yeah.
Like it was, a while ago.
Yeah, you know, because you guys suck and everybody thinks your offense can't move the ball. And I think they're right this time. And you're always upset and irritated and short with everybody. And we see your frustration. Do you still like it? Do you? So he's like, okay, bye. I listen to the questions. Other than the Pete Frady's one, they're all the same. All the same stuff. Okay, so when is this? Is this offense? When is this offense going to figure it out?
Yeah.
It's like, figure what out? It's almost like he's being a little defensive. Not so much, but you can see that he's tired of the same old stupid questions.
I think the point is just we got to maximize our potential, and I don't know what our potential is.
See, that's the quote that I heard. You know, we got to maximize our potential.
But he said that 8 weeks ago.
I know, but...
He said, we'll figure it out.
But I don't know what our potential is. Like, again, I go back to... I'm so accustomed to, on Monday mornings, having Tom Brady's team put up 30 points, 33, 35, and hear him say multiple times, we left points on the board. You know what I mean? There's things we can do better. He's never said that. I don't really believe, like, all year... that they've left points on the board because he knows it's a grind. And I feel like in the past, he's always sort of looked at his team and said, I know what the potential is. You know, if I can get Gronk healthy, if I can get, you know, Edelman healthy or in the past with Welker healthy or whatever it might be, you know, if we can get our running back or two of our offensive linemen healthy again. But right now, everybody technically is healthy. Isaiah Wynn, by the way, back at practice today.
Oh, thank God.
So.
Oh, thank God.
With everybody healthy, he still doesn't know what the potential is because of what he's been going through the last five or six weeks. He doesn't even know what the ceiling is.
But again, it's what's the difference between today and last week, 3 weeks five weeks before that?
You're saying it's the same questions over and over and over.
And the ones that drive him crazy are the ones that are just so unbelievably redundant. Hey, are you having fun? That are trying to get a rise out of him. Like somebody actually thinks that he's going to say, you know what, no, it's been the worst year of my life. But he actually so whoever asked that question is going to go write an article based on the question that he asked.
Well, winning is definitely fun.
I don't know how the hell the guy does it. I just don't get how he could keep from just, you know, losing his mind. And really, what did he even say? Well, he's not saying anything. It's the same old stuff. We got to maximize our potential. We all got to get back to work. It's the same roller coaster. It's the same freaking merry-go-round. Round and round we go.
So what do they have to do in the next 3 weeks to give you confidence going into the postseason?
Well, what do they need to do?
What do you need to see?
I would like to see first of all, off the running game. Just you don't need to be great. Just be good. Listen, I thought I saw it against Philly and Dallas. I did. I thought I saw it. I thought they made progress. I thought, wow, they ended a game on their terms. I don't know how often they can do that. Sonny Michel ran the ball hard. I would like N'Keal Harry to have at least 8 touches in the game.
Well, that's
I would
what I was
like
going
to
say.
And it's not act like 3 weeks is not a long time. It's 3 games. You can't figure it out. You can't become a stud in 3 games. Did it in college. Sometimes that's all the games
so
guys
you'd
have.
Ask me, I would say that Philip Dorsett and Jacoby Myers solidify themselves as the 4th and 5th wide receivers on this team, which would obviously mean that Sanu and N'Keal Harry would be it. That'd be your 3 wide receiver set. You know, and Sanu is getting, you know, 8, 7, 8, 9 targets a game, and Harry's getting 5, 6, 7 targets a game. You know what I mean? As far as touches or whatever you want to call it. Like, if they came out, and listen, I've expressed how I feel about this offense and what I think the outcome is going to be. But even if you came out against Cincinnati, because it's not necessarily... you know, that these guys aren't good enough. A lot of times it's just they're not in the right spots. They don't have an understanding of what Tom is looking for from them. So if on Sunday, I don't care who the opponent is, whether it's Cincinnati, Buffalo, New York, Jets, Miami, give me the next crap team out there. I don't care. I'm not putting Buffalo in that mix, but you know what I'm saying. As long as you start to see, like, here comes the blitz, and Brady gets rid of it quick to the left, and there's N'Keal Harry to catch it, or Mohamed Sanu to catch it for a 7, 8-yard catch. And you see that more often in a football game. Now I'm sitting there saying, okay, I know Sanu can catch. I think Harry can. I don't know. I haven't seen enough of it yet. We'll see. But as long as if you start to see communication. If you start to see guys in the right spot, Brady with pressure, just dumping it quick and somebody turning around and being right where they're supposed to be, or him throwing it up deep and it actually going to a wide receiver, not to just the 10-yard line because the wide receiver went in and he's supposed to go out, then I might sit there and say, well, you know, I don't care who the opponent is. Wide receivers are starting to get on the same page a little bit.
Then you want to make sure that N'Keal Harry, it becomes a weapon. He's a legit weapon. Teams are game planning for N'Keal Harry. They're not going to do that. They're still going to be game planning. So what has to happen? Here's what has to happen.
Sanu and Edelman, move the chains, and N'Keal Harry checks in with that special moment.
So here's what's going to happen. Every team's going to do the same thing. They're going to double Edelman. They're going to take James White out of the game. All right, so Sanu's going to have to get open. And then eventually, I would think this week, N'Keal Harry, someone's going to say, N'Keal Harry can't beat us. You know what? We'll take our chances with them going to N'Keal Harry. But we cannot lose with them going to Julian Edelman. So when they do that, and N'Keal Harry makes them pay, and then he does it 2-3 weeks in a row, now you're forcing them to change the way they look at your offense and the way they call their defense. But I don't know if there's going to be enough games. You need to put enough product, enough plays out there so some defensive coordinator would be like, well, listen, I know this is what they were doing, but three games in a row now, they've shown that they're willing to go to N'Keal Harry. He's a big dude. He's strong. And now we got to change the complexity of our defense because this guy can beat us. So, and I don't know if three games is enough. Usually in the NFL, as a player,
I would four.
Look at four work. That's right. They do have four games.
No, they have three. But you laughed at me when I said, well, if they're the number three seed, buys them another game. Because I think they need repetition.
No, see, don't do that. No, nobody wants to play another game. Everybody needs a break. Every single body needs a break. All of them do. You know, Tooney hasn't missed any. Mason, Cannon's been needs a break. Sanu could get some extra health for that ankle of his. Brady, definitely. Ted Karras, James Ferentz. The defense alone, I mean, Jesus. Those guys have been playing their ass off. So, yeah, I think they definitely need the bye. If they don't get the bye, just kiss it all goodbye. You see that? If they don't get the bye, kiss it all goodbye.
All right, listen, at 4 o'clock, we're going to talk to Mike Lombardi. A lot of Patriots here early on. I want to touch on what I saw last night at the Boston Garden.
Okay.
Boston
Celtics.
Oh,
what you didn't see.
Philadelphia 76ers in something that I felt was one of the most disrespectful things I've seen in years from the Boston Celtics. We'll discuss that next.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're back with more Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
And B will take the three. And hits it. Joel Embiid. And you can see how involved he is. No kidding around on the part of Joel Embiid.
Celtics last night lost that one 115-109. Joel Embiid, too much.
Too much
for this team to handle. What'd he end up with? 38 points, 13 boards?
Yeah.
Do whatever he wanted, basically. When he wanted, right?
But, I mean, it wasn't like... I mean, if you look at... Well, first of all, his numbers were insane. I mean, that's like, you know, league MVP-type numbers. If he's having numbers like that, I mean, he can be the MVP of the league. And guys like Barkley...
Well, I think it's a bad matchup for this team, that's all. And I like what you've gotten basically from Tyson, those guys for this team. But
well, think about what you got
against the Sixers team. That's an awful matchup. That's a guy.
Well,
that can't
I mean,
stop.
You basically so Cantor had what 20 points and Tice had 16. So
yep.
Those two guys, you know, 36 points.
Isn't the problem for like Cantor.
Well, the defense is the problem, and it's funny. The one guy that can stop him is plays for the 76ers,
brings me to one of the most disrespectful things I've ever seen. No video tribute for Al Horford.
That was surprising.
Kelly Olynyk got a video tribute.
But Kelly Olynyk played.
Everybody.
Kelly Olynyk played in that
gets
game.
A video tribute.
I wonder if Al Horford said he didn't want one. I wonder if he said he didn't want one.
What's up, guys?
I wouldn't be surprised.
Were you surprised that they didn't give one? They put him up in the Jumbotron, like a standing ovation. Woohoo! I just, listen, I don't know. Are they breaking tradition? Which I think a lot of people would sit there and say, okay, good, because you've been giving to everybody. But wouldn't you think? I mean, I'm just sort of thinking like the guys that have left recently, you know, again, Olynyk, Big Baby. Didn't Big Baby get one?
But Kelly everybody got one.
I think
everybody
Jonas Jerebko got one.
Yeah, you're right. Jerebko did get one.
Holy smokes. So, okay, so recently, Kyrie, obviously you're not going to give him one, right? Okay, I get that. But Al, okay, because from now on, like, we're good. We're good. Like, who else is leaving here soon? I don't know. Tatum, Brown, if they happen to leave for some reason, you're not going to give one to Rozier. Like Al Horford, seems like the one guy you would say, okay, give one to Al, and then we'll just sort of move on. We can sort of stop doing this for a while.
I think player on the Celtics team.
I mean, this is a guy that taught basketball to basketball fans everywhere.
Yes, and experts. He was so good at basketball that basketball experts were oohed and odd.
The people in their basement became bloggers during his time here. Because they could see the excellence. They could see what he brought. They could see it all, the little things, the nuances of the game. He brought so much to this area as far as knowledge of the game, like more than even a Chatham when it comes to football. Like Al Horford was like the guy, and now no tribute? Nothing?
Al Horford's playing as good as I've ever seen him play.
Nothing?
I think that he asked for them not to do it. I that's what I believe. He feels that he wasn't playing, and maybe he didn't want to rub it in. Who the hell knows? Because that's the type of guy that he is,
deep
right?
Deep down, is Danny Manning left?
Well, they tried to keep him.
You opted out, you went to Philly.
Well, okay, so why did he leave? Why did he leave in the first place? Why did he decide to go play someplace else?
I thought it was interesting. I think you talked a lot about how he couldn't pass up playing, you know, with Embiid and Ben Simmons. And
a
the
team
opportunity
that was ready
to
win now. Yeah, wasn't that the whole, I mean, so.
Pass
so
up
he
an opportunity
says
to play with Jalen and Tatum.
Here's the thing. He says that,
obviously,
and nobody
better.
Gives a crap, but he basically flat out said, I'm leaving you for someone better looking.
Yeah, because you
basically
can't
what
win.
I said. But so he basically did the same thing to Atlanta. Went for somebody who he left Atlanta to go for to go to a team that was building something that could win in the next 2 years, right? They brought all these guys in, but it didn't work out.
Leap of faith, I believe he put it last night. Took a leap of faith.
I don't know why. It does not bother me at all. I know like they put the camera on him. He got a standing ovation. There were some boos, not a lot, a small amount of boos, but nothing really worth anything.
Was this Al after the game? Go ahead.
It was a big leap of faith, you know, coming here, leaving, you know, my stability and everything that I had in Atlanta. And then I didn't realize that, you know, that you know, what I was building here was something that I felt like was very special, you know, with this group and everything. And it was definitely, you know, tougher when I had to make the decision to, you know, to leave. But I ultimately understood that was the right decision for me.
I don't hate him at all. I'm not one bit.
Because
he was never a dink. I felt like he'll always get a lifetime pass because I almost feel like people feel like he sacrificed. Like he made a sacrifice. Like he gave up 4 years of his life to come here, and it just didn't work out for a bunch of different reasons, even though he's getting paid, you know, a boatload of money. Mm-hmm. But no, I do feel like people give him a pass. The knuckleheads are always going to boo him, but I don't know. It was odd, but I have a feeling that he asked for them not to do it. I don't think he wanted the spotlight on him, especially when he wasn't playing.
Well, you know, you look at that game last night, and obviously Jason Tatum just couldn't find it. I mean, what did he end up with? 5 for 18, I think it was?
To the end. Made one of the biggest shots of the game, though.
Yep. And I don't know, and this is part of him, and he's been a little better with it. But, you know, on nights when you don't shoot the ball the way he did for, the first 2-3 quarters, I'd like to see him be a little bit more aggressive and just be like, okay, so I'm not taking the shot. I'm going to take it to the hole. Maybe it was Embiid factor or not, but how many floaters just go into the hoop? You know, fall back to, you know, fadeaways or just floaters running to the basket. I don't know. Maybe it was Embiid. I don't know. But in a night, like I always talk about, I think he's going to be a great scorer. And when
Who?
I think a great
Tatum?
Tatum. When you think of great scores, I think of Paul Pierce. And I think when Pierce kind of, you know, maybe he wasn't feeling his shot, he'd take it to the basket and get to the line 10, 12 times. I'm still waiting for that from Tatum.
Even with all that being said, they still had multiple opportunities to win the game, in my book.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they got it within two, got it within one. They end up throwing the ball out of bounds. This Jaylen Brown just can't hold the spot. And Tatum is just sitting there inbounding the ball. And he just kind of stands there. He doesn't run. The baseline doesn't do anything. Bad
Kemba
decision
falls.
By him. Throws a ball. Yeah, Brown falls, throws the ball. Then they still get an opportunity. So now they're fouling Joel Embiid because they're playing the law of averages, right? Or no, and then they were fouling Ben Simmons also. So Embiid makes all of his. I mean, listen. I mean,
12 of 14.
12 of 14 from the free throw line.
Yeah. Hey, Bob, shut up.
So everything that they did, I don't know. Maybe you can question the coaching. Why even foul Ben Simmons when they did? Because odds are that he's going to throw up a brick. But you know, you foul him. You know, you think he's going to miss them both, or at least miss one. The first one he shoots kind of bounces up and down. It goes in. The second one, he just swishes it. So I don't know what you take from this game. I don't know if it makes you feel good or makes you feel bad. They didn't have Smart. Sixers didn't have Horford. Tatum had a terrible game, but at the same time, Tice and Cantor played unbelievable offensively. And I don't think, you know, and then sure enough, you know, Joel Embiid, you think he's going to go, what? How many three-pointers did he have? Like three-pointers?
Well, that was the one thing,
and that's
too.
The other
although,
thing.
I'll tell you what, they are. We always said they
two
can't
of three
shoot.
From the three-point line.
They are a lot better than I thought they were going to be. I mean, they were 50% from three last year, but they're still, they're like sixth or seventh, or maybe fifth or sixth in the league in three-point shooting, which is the one thing we always sit there and say, well, that's going to be their downfall. I just think that, I think the Sixers are a bad matchup for the Celtics. And you didn't even see Horford. You know, the way they attack you just aren't like a lot of other teams. There aren't many guys that have a guy like Embiid. And again, I think against most teams, I think Tice, I give him credit for what he's been doing. You know, Time Lord, Cantor. I mean, I always felt like that was going to be the black hole of this team, and Danny's going to have to address it, which he may still have to. But I think they've been fine. I don't have a problem with either one of those
guys.
Yeah,
but you know, you're going to get to the end of the season, and you're still going to have those problems. No, Embiid will probably end up, you know, having games like this again because no one can stop him.
All right, let's go to the calls. I want to get to Jimmy in Virginia because he had something about this Celtics game. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Yeah, how y'all doing? How y'all doing this afternoon?
What's up?
Good. How are you?
All right, man. That game last night, and the other games that I've been seeing that Boston been playing. I mean, it really turned my stomach. I had to turn my television because of this lack of height of Boston having up in their front line, and it's catching up with them. And Danny Ainge did not address that, and I've been saying it all along. They instead of them trying to get Davis, they should go after Carl Anthony Towns, and they should have done that.
Well, I think he had just signed. He's just signed right now. You have to wait a couple years before he gets fed up with that place.
You know, but here's the thing real Maybe. Quick, Jimmy. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, so Joel, how many Joel Embiids are there? I mean, how
well,
many?
That's what I'm saying.
So, yeah, so it's not like the problem will be that when you do play him in the playoffs, because really that's all that matters, you know, who's going to slow him down? That's going to be the problem.
Yeah, that is a problem.
So,
yeah,
but that's not saying they don't go get somebody at the trade deadline, because that could also help and as well. You just got to, but maybe not.
Maybe not, but my God, man, they should have addressed this during the summer, because they knew this was going to happen, man. When this, like, I give tears.
They know the money.
They
know the money. I mean, Baines and his $5.5 million just to kind of free up some enough cash to bring in Kemba Walker. Now, will they have to address it? Was it Jokic the other day? He put up 30 on him too. But there aren't many of these guys you got to worry about. Man, unfortunately, he's got one right here. You have to probably play in Philly. But will he address that in the future? Sure. I don't know. I think Carl Anthony Towns is like in year two of like a 7-6 year deal, whatever it is, right? Or 5 year extension.
Oh, is that the next name? Is that the new name that the Patriots,
so. Yeah,
the Celtics are going to go after?
Sure. But I think he's just kind of entering a new contract. I don't know. All right, listen. Again, Celtics lost as well. You want to play that Tim Thomas sound?
Yeah, I yesterday? Do. Because this is situations like this always kind of freak me out.
Yeah.
They always freak me out because I know you never got hit in the head.
Oh, yeah.
Did you?
It's my head into my career.
Times? What, you did?
Yeah.
Wait, getting hit in the head with a baseball ended your career?
Sure did.
I don't think I've heard the story before.
Maybe we'll get into that. But Tim Thomas addressed kind of what's been going on in his world. Induction into the Hall of Fame, that'll be coming soon for him as well. But he addressed the media and talked about some of the struggles you'll hear from Tim Thomas when we come back after this.
Back to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Well, the Bruins have dropped now five straight. They lost in Washington, then again last night against Tampa Bay. Tim Thomas
wow,
was
happened to everybody.
Was in Washington, actually addressed, talked to the media, I believe it was yesterday, and sat down with them at length and discussed. Now he's inducted into the National Hockey League Hall of Fame.
Wow.
And part of that he explained and why he was kind of been away from the game and a lot of things that I'm not sure a lot of people were familiar with. So apparently it was even back. So when he left Boston, we don't know how that thing sort of ended. But he went back in. He went back to Florida. Ended his career in Dallas. Short stints there. But when he was in Florida, apparently in a pregame warmup, he got hit with a puck in the head. And that just set off a whole bunch of stuff that he got into yesterday with the media.
Well, I couldn't keep up with watching a game for at least a few years after I stopped playing. In Florida, my last year, at the beginning of December, there was a concussion that changed my life. Definitely. I lost the ability to essentially, I woke up the next morning after it and I couldn't decide what I wanted to eat, where I wanted to go. I couldn't plan a schedule. I survived following the team schedule the rest of the year and just, you know, made it through that season. But 1 year after I stopped playing, I got a what's called a CERA scan, which is a scan where they measure the blood flow of your brain very accurately using radioactive isotopes. And two-thirds of my brain was getting less than 5% blood flow. And the other third was averaging about 50%. So if you can put those numbers and really think through what that means to where I was, that's where I was. On the ice, I was able to be like 97%, maybe 95% of what I was before. But like off the ice, I just, like I said, I still can't choose. I wake up every, I'm so much better, but I wake up every day and basically, it's like, and I have to like reorder everything in my mind for the first couple hours of the day. And then, make a list and try to make some choices to get some stuff done, which I've gotten to the level that I can.
I don't know what those numbers mean. You know, a CERA scan? We're talking about radioactive isotopes. Like, I don't know.
To measure the blood flow.
Like a third of your brain getting 50%, two-thirds of your brain getting 5. My guess is 5 is awful. So, but yeah, that's sort of, that's insane.
So what kind of stood out to me is that, okay, so while he was playing, while he was actually playing a game, he was a goalie, he was operating it at 95, 97%.
He was okay.
He was fine when he was playing goalie. But as soon as the games were over, that's when he had difficulty structuring his life.
I don't know, adrenaline, awareness, focus.
I don't, does that not seem odd to you? Because in football, all right, let's just listen. I'm just use it, obviously, for the obvious reasons. You get a concussion. Like, you can't be at 95 to 97%. Like,
no.
You're struggling to even, I mean, it's just not the same. But I would think that if you're struggling, usually if you're struggling off the field, you're struggling on the field. If you can't remember what to do off the field, you can't even remotely come close to remember what to do on the field. But for him, it was different.
That to me is
a little strange. But whatever. I mean, every case is different.
Well, because what I would
but to
think
me,
is,
that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. You know, yeah, being like 95%, because to me the concussion, I don't know, I know you've had a few, you mentioned before, the last one I had was 07, that was it, my career was over, and it happened in spring training, I remember it too, because it was so stupid, it was one of these, like, you know, we were up by a run in the bottom of the ninth, and they tied it, so we had to play in the tenth, you know what I mean, and yeah. I was supposed to finish that game, it was just one of those, I came in the second half, played extra innings, and I got up and a guy drilled me. Right in the head, the ball rolled back to the mound. It wasn't like off my helmet to the backstop.
Where on your head?
Right above my left temple.
Okay.
So it was, you know.
Now, do you fall to the ground? Are you out? Or are you just
all I heard was rings.
Kicking and
screaming? I heard the loudest bell ever, and it wouldn't stop for a while. And, I mean, I'm talking about, like, my face was swollen, and the swelling went down. Like, I didn't have, like, a neck on the left side after, like, a few days. Like, the swelling just kept. It was huge. My wife has pictures of it. It was scary. But I was, you know, it was my last year. I had a shot of making a team. I was in Oakland. I was supposed to make the team. And I was just like, whatever. Like 10 days later, you good? Yep, let's do it. I mean, it was completely irresponsible. You know, this is 12 years ago. I had no clue. I just wanted to play. I wanted to make the team and get the hell out of camp. And it wasn't working. Every test they put me through, you know, I was dizzy. I was lightheaded. So I went to AAA, and I played right away. I didn't miss anything.
So they send you down.
And it was awful. I couldn't see at night. I couldn't pick up the spin.
So wait, why?
I had trouble, like that certain part of the night. You know what I mean? When you go to a baseball game, and it's like from 7 to, say, 8:30 until the dark really gets dark.
That's dusk.
I couldn't see. I couldn't pick up spin. And there's nothing worse than sitting in a batter's box. I don't care. Even at that level, ball's coming at you, and you're like, oh, Jesus. I mean, I was after about 3 weeks of straining my brain, I remember being in somewhere. I forget where it was, Tacoma or something stupid. And I got vertigo in the morning. My eyes back and forth, left and right, couldn't stop, throwing up all over a hotel room.
What?
Found myself in a hospital thinking that I had, you know, a stress fracture.
Wait. So
you ever had vertigo?
No, I've never had vertigo.
Oh,
wait,
dude.
So wait, how much time passed from the time you got hit to when you got the vertigo and were throwing up in Tacoma?
About a month.
So wait, there was no testing. What was it, one of those things where you had to just act like you didn't have any issues?
I was trying to play through it to show them that I'm fine, get me the hell out of here and bring me up again.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? And it just hit me. I mean, I woke up, I had no clue. I could not stop my eyes going back and forth, left and right. Even if I closed them, I could almost feel like my eyes doing it. And I wake back up, I was dizzy, throwing up all over, called the trainer, rushed to the hospital.
A month later.
Yeah, it was awful. And it wasn't through the X-rays. There was no fractures.
Did they not do it?
It shut me down for a couple weeks.
A brain scan? Did they not do? I know they didn't have this thing. Maybe they didn't have this thing.
Yeah, they took photos, all those. Yeah. But honestly, it shut me down for about 2 weeks.
And then what happened when you came back?
Same.
So
I remember going to my manager's office and being like, it got to me so bad. I'm like, I can't. He's like, can't walk.
Get out.
And he's like, what's wrong? I'm like, I can't see. And this is after like 3 weeks of just not being me, you know? And
yeah.
And he's like, what do you mean? I'm like, I'm telling you, I can't see. I can't pick up spin. I can't play at night. And it was like, Jesus. So he shut me down again for a while. It was probably mid-August where I felt like I woke up.
It just, all the symptoms just went away.
Yep. But then it was too late. I was just hanging out. I was like Crash Davis, hanging out in Oakland with a bunch of AAA kids. They had no desire to do that. It was awful. And I was like, what am I doing? I'm done.
Oh, dude, I never heard that story before.
Oh, it was awful.
I mean, I've had concussions before, plenty of them.
I just kept trying to play through it, stressing my brain even more. As a matter of fact, I do this thing, the Framingham Heart Study. It's like my family's been through it generations, and they had this one thing, concussions. If you had them, we were doing this study. So I went, and it's one of these studies that you do all day. It's outstanding, right? And they never contact you unless there's an issue. I remember getting a call with like 2 weeks before Christmas.
Oh, no.
And the call simply said, contact your doctor.
Oh,
I'm like, about what? Contact your doctor. There's a spot on your brain. And I did. And I had to get MRIs. I was all over the place. Concussion doctors for everywhere. Talked to Taylor Twellman an awful lot, you know, because he went through the concussions. And they found the spot. And I had a monitor like a few years later. Got to look at it and make sure it's not growing. And then a couple years ago, I did the last test. And they're like, you should be good now.
It amazes me how, I mean, I've had a ton of them. And I've known people that have had a ton of them. I've never heard that story before. That's remarkable.
Not fun.
No, I can't imagine it being fun. But I've never, the only concussions I've had, I remember once I got hit so hard that the guy, both of us got knocked out.
I was playing third base too, by the way. Scary.
How were you even able to get out of a batter's box?
I mean, it was just, I just had trouble with spin. And I get a lot of headaches.
Why was playing third base difficult? Because it came so quick?
Yeah. It's just reaction.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
yeah, there's many nights where you're just like, it's that certain time of night, 7:45, 8, and you're like, God, hurry up and get dark. You can't see.
I can't even imagine the stress that would be going on in your head knowing that, okay, I'll hear it, but I won't see it.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Yeah, it was tough. So, I mean, I've been there, obviously, with them. I've had a few other ones, too. It was probably the third serious one I've had. But Tim Thomas continued and talked about how it affected him because no one's heard from Tim Thomas for years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Remember last year in the playoffs, they're like, who's going to wave the flag? I mean, they were running out of dudes. Yeah. And they were talking about Tim Thomas might. We're like, don't do that. Don't put that on Tuca. You know, because he's the bar. Yeah. I mean, forever we will judge goaltenders here in Boston on that run he had in 2011, including Tuca. It's probably the worst thing that ever happened to Tuca, right, with the run that this guy went on because nothing will ever match that.
See, the impression, the perception that I had of Tim Thomas, not knowing him at all, was that he was bunkered down in some shelter.
Thinking the world was going to invade.
Yeah, so he was like, if you went into his house, he had like a bomb shelter. It was filled with canned goods and rifles and medical supplies.
Yeah.
Because he was ready for doomsday.
Yeah.
That is, honest to God, what I thought about Tim Thomas.
Well, this
not is, being not being around. Well, I was here, but I wasn't paying attention to the Bruins at all, and especially Tim Thomas. I just remember hearing things, you know, when I was, you know, playing with the Patriots and just being in the area. But
Now you're telling me like none of these, probably none of these are none of this is the case with him.
No, because you went in talking about how we kind of went in hiding there for a few years.
I couldn't communicate with anybody for a few years. I didn't call my dad. I didn't talk to anybody. And so there was a time period, yeah, where I started to, where I hated the game. I didn't want to talk about this. I didn't want to talk. I didn't want to tell the world this stuff.
Wow. So he obviously doesn't even want to address it. To me, that's such a...
You don't want to talk about it. You don't want to address it. I think a lot of guys, athletes, probably, what did he do? He probably felt like he was weak because he couldn't control it.
You know what? Do you think... Do you,
I'm just
do
saying,
you,
that's what a lot of people, I think, feel. They're like, I don't really? Anybody know what I'm going through.
See, I think that stigma is gone. I think that narrative is gone
Maybe
away.
Maybe not back in... What was... I mean, we're talking...
Well, he's our age.
Yeah.
But okay, so a different era. Ago. Guys coming up now, first of all, the now rules are so strict, and there's so much teaching that goes into it. And the whole macho, hey, play through, don't drink any water crowd, that whole generation is gone. So I would say now, guys that are younger, especially with all the players, former players, or the junior sales of the world. Or who was the guy from Duerson? It was the guy from the Chicago Bears. All these guys, football players who are killing themselves, and not shooting themselves in the head, shooting themselves in the chest. For the main reason, hey, I know something's wrong. I know you guys are going to like cut my head open. Hey, study me and then, you know, somehow. But the education is too strong. But for him, I mean, and I think the best thing for a guy like Tim Thomas and what he does in number eight here, Ryan, is when I think the realization that I think you had it all wrong. I think internally, I don't think he knew, you know, what people really
like
thought
people
about
wouldn't
him.
Wouldn't accept him if
yeah,
he came
like,
out
we wouldn't,
him.
Yeah, like we wouldn't accept him. They wouldn't understand. They'd make fun of him. They'd think he was weak. They think he was...
such an old mindset.
It's such an old mindset. And here, when he talks about this, you just like... It was all in his head, literally.
Being welcomed back into the arms of the hockey family, so to speak, has been great. It's reminded me of all the great people that I... that I crossed paths with all throughout my career. So, it's been very impactful. I think that was the original question.
Wow, that's it's sad to hear, but I'm happy for him.
Yeah.
Because I think there's a level of, you know, allowing yourself to be vulnerable that just, you know, resembles a lot of growth, especially older guys, because I always used to freak out about, like, okay, do these guys, is it situational? Are their issues situational? Did they lose their money? Did they get a divorce? Did they, could they not find a job? Are their friends go off and move to different cities and, you know, and they're thriving? You know, or
that caused
was there
to
drug
like, to trigger
use?
It, you mean?
Well, I think Junior Seau, like, I'm not going to ignore the fact that he probably had CTE.
Yeah.
But Junior also had a lot of issues outside of CTE. I mean, he had gambling debts. He had marital issues. He had girlfriend issues. I mean, there was a lot of things out there. He was in so much debt, gambling debt, from all his trips to Vegas. That, I mean, there was a lot more going on. Now, some people will say, well, maybe that's because, you know, of CTE.
Yeah.
That was, he was depressed, so he needed some sort of stimulation. And the only way for him to get stimulation was to gamble, to do this, to do that, just to try to create something that resembles the fellowship and camaraderie that exists and the excitement that exists by playing football. And it's never replicated. It's never replicated. Everybody thinks it is. So, and I think the best thing for guys like Tim is to get back into the mix, get back into some alumni association, get back into, you know, the Bruins and be the face of the Bruins and be part of it and show up at games and shake hands and kiss babies. You know, you find that you have more worth than you actually thought you did. But it's a crazy
story.
You
remember having, I mean, I'm sure you've had a lot of concussions, I'm guessing. Knowing you now.
Oh, he's fine. That's so funny. I'm telling you, I didn't have.
Never had that one where you just.
I was telling you, I had at least three or four where I was like, well, my symptoms were I was crying like a baby. I was freaking out in tears, like uncontrolled tears. Like, you remember when Luke Kuechly got his concussion?
Yeah.
Like, that's a symptom. It's a weird symptom where I remember Luke Kuechly was just sitting on the turf, bawling his eyes out. They put him on the cart, and they were rolling him off. He was bawling his eyes out. The same exact thing happened to me. It's this weird. It's like this the weird. You're scared. You're freaking out. You don't. And then you just become emotional. I didn't have near the issues that you had. Actually, hell, I told one time I got hit so hard. The coach was like, "Listen, you can't come in until I know you know what to do." So I grabbed the other tight end. This was in college, and I say, hey, ask me all the easy questions where the answer is the same. And I went up to my coach and said, well, I passed it. He said, well, how do I know you passed it? I said, well, Jason asked me all the questions. And he looked at Jason. He's like, Jason, did you get him right? And Jason said, yes. I went back in the game. Rohan Marley, Bob Marley's son, was the guy that actually did that to me. A small, roundabout world. My story's not nearly as good as yours. But not nearly
as good. It's just going to show you where we are right now. I think I heard Andy Hart, talking about this earlier, saying, you know, it's such uncharted territory with, like, concussions and the study of it that I don't know. We haven't scratched the surface.
No, I think he's right. It's just, we're so...
Because I went and got a scan, and they said, you don't have a fracture in your skull. And I said, that's good. All right, so just kind of hang out for a few days, and then we'll get you back into baseball activity in 4 or 5. So we'll get you back in the field in, like, 10.
You were happy with that prognosis.
Of course.
You weren't even thinking, okay, my skull is fine. The idea that anything could be wrong with your brain, this is 12 years ago.
No,
that
wasn't until, I remember, I'll tell you right now, it was 2009 when I got that call to go see my doctor and have my brain examined because they saw a spot in my brain and my son was a month and a half old. That's when it hit me. When I was playing, I didn't give a rat ass. I was like, is it not broken? No. Cool. Let's go. I'm ready to play again.
It got to the point, I know we're going to go because we got Michael Lombardi coming up at 4. They did institute this testing system where they would pre-test you. Like, they have it now. Everybody has it now. But they would test you beforehand, right? So when you got concussed, and the only way they would let you play is if you got a similar score. That they would know that you're mentally right. Or I remember almost failing my test on purpose. Because if I did get a concussion, I want to make sure that they weren't holding me out. I hand to God, I'm so embarrassed to actually admit that. But it was my livelihood. I couldn't afford to miss. So I wasn't going to let a concussion hold me out. Like, I was dumb that way. I mean, I don't think people should do that. And actually, you can't do it because my son had a concussion earlier in the year. And I mean, it was like, see a concussion specialist.
I get it. When you say I was dumb that way, I get where we are now. You know, when looking at it and everyone from the outside in saying, oh, how could you be so stupid? It affects the rest of your life. Even I still say back in 07 when I was like, yeah, that wasn't dumb. I wanted to keep playing.
No, it was like the smart thing to do. How do you get through it?
No, years later, if they find out 20 years later, whatever. But I'm talking about in 07 in the moment.
Yeah.
That's why when guys just retire because they're just like, I had a concussion. I'm afraid of my future. Like, you're sort of like, okay, that's a new wave of thinking, and I admit it's probably the right way of thinking.
Yes.
That wasn't my way of thinking. Just, it wasn't. I had two or three other ones, and that Pedro's fight with Gerald Williams is when I probably got my second one. in the bottom of the pile. I got knee in the back of the head.
Ass that day.
I watched Pedro try to throw a no-hitter from the doctor throwing up in a bed in a hospital. You know what I mean? And I was just like, cool. I remember the next day I went in there, and my hat, I couldn't fit my hat because I had swelling. So I didn't wear the hat next game. I think a day or two later, I was playing.
Dude, you're talking
swelling
about,
on the brain.
On. You're talking about
I
me
the next
and
day.
My concussions while I'm the way I am? What? How do you think
he's
he would be?
He's been hiding his.
He's been hiding his.
So I'm just saying, back then, it was like, Jesus, hey, can you go Wednesday? If it was like a Sunday when it happened.
Yes.
Can you go Wednesday? Of course. I only play once a week. Yeah, I'm ready to go. I'm fine.
Just drain it.
The swelling of my brain will go down enough for me where I could wear my hat, and not hurt. I can play. Like, was that dumb? I guess it is years later.
Now,
back then,
now looking
that
back,
that wasn't dumb back
then.
That's
my question.
I needed to play.
We always do that, hypothetical hot tub time machine. If you go back 12 years and go, listen, Lou of 12 years ago, this is not worth it. This is what's going to happen. Would you go back and try to talk yourself
right now
out of the approach?
No.
See, that's never a fair test. I don't think that's fair because, unfortunately, you know how important it was and how valuable the experience is. That's a terrible game.
I'm just saying, like 15, 20 years from now,
play hungry hippos.
If something happens to my brain or me or you or whatever, and you know, 20 years later, and I'm sitting there in my 60s or 70s.
I'm feeding you.
Yeah, and I would sit there and say, you know, if I didn't do that when I was in my 20s or 30s, then I might regret it then. But even right now, I don't. No, I needed to play. I wanted to play longer. I'm thinking I should have went back in 08 and got over it and maybe played one more year. But I knew I sucked, and that was too much of a struggle for me. So I was good there.
Real talk. That was real talk.
Real talk. Real talk with OMF. All right, Mike Lombardi, he's going to join us next. We'll get his thoughts on, of course, the happenings out in Cincinnati last weekend with the video guy, if he thinks it's a big deal. And if anything will change this weekend with the New England Patriots. Mike Lombardi joins us next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.